Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. This is where we talk with people helping struggling teens and young adults, and all the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com. Today is October 17, 2016, and we're going to talk about therapy, particularly expressive art therapy. My guest is Aaron Cantanini. Good morning. Now, at least it's still morning. Well, it's afternoon for me, too. Well, it's good to have you here, Aaron.
Thank you so much, Lon. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, the topic is healing through expressive arts therapy. Now, Aaron is a clinical director of program services at Whetstone Academy. It's a boys' school in South Carolina. And she especially is expressive arts therapy and body-centered therapy. So she's going to tell us what that's about and how you can use art, how you can use art to help kids heal, and especially expressive arts therapy and how that's different than regular arts therapy. So, Aaron, tell me.
Yes. Well,
let's start with art therapy in general. Give a short version, 50 words or less or something like that. What is art therapy in general?
Sure. So art therapy is the practice of bringing the arts into therapy, you know, pretty point blank. And, you know, the biggest difference for me between art therapy and expressive arts therapy is expressive arts therapy is the process of bringing in various modalities like clay or painting or dance, and doing it very intentionally, usually using one after another to almost like a weaving of a process.
So the whole purpose is to get the client, the student, in touch with whatever's going on with himself, right?
Absolutely. So it's creating a multi-leveled awareness, not only for the clinician, but also for the client as well. They're experiencing themselves in a variety of techniques and in a variety of experiences that traditional talk therapy just simply does not provide.
So it's to bypass all the obstacles that comes up in art therapy by coming at it through the side door or the back door or other routes when they don't feel like they're in a therapy session.
Yes, that's I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, and very intentionally using the arts in that way, oftentimes we're getting to the core of what may be going on for a child or even for an adult by way of going past their defenses that they would typically have in other therapeutic realms.
Okay. So why don't you give me a couple of simple examples of how, well, the way I gather you work is that you might start, and so far as the boy or the subject or the client or student is concerned, it's just an art thing. They're doing something or they're making masks, like the example that you used. And that gives you clues how to go through and find out what's going on and help him get in touch with what's happening. If I sort of summarize that, and could you give some examples of that?
Absolutely. And I'm going to go back a little bit. You know, even before we get into the arts making process, which is an amazing process, I think it needs to start with the facilitative relationship. So what that means for me as a clinician is creating a relationship that encourages self-awareness, learning, healing, and this ongoing emergent understanding of the client for themselves. And doing that by creating a safe container, or what we may also call a holding space, where the client can connect with their physical sense, their psychological well-being, emotional safety, and creating the space of connection and compassion between the facilitator and the client. So after creating the safe container is then where I would start to bring in the arts. To list off some broad ways that I like to use it is even fire making or drumming, drawing, painting, body-oriented work, mask making, even dream catchers.
Okay, so you start it might look to the student like he's starting an art class. You're doing some project.
Sometimes I have been called a teacher, and I hesitate with correcting a child because if that's how they see it, that's how they see it. And that's a wonderful title to be given, is to teach someone something, right? But the goal ultimately is giving them a new language, a new way of expressing themselves.
Okay. Well, I would, we could discuss, it's a sidebar. I've always considered therapists are teachers because the purpose is to help the kids learn. The purpose of a teacher is to help the kids learn rather than impart something necessarily. And
in absolutely.
That sense, in that sense, you really are a teacher in that you're helping them learn. That's what a teacher is supposed to do.
Yes, and really, you know, allowing the child to become their own teacher as well, and in allowing this to be a client-driven focus, where whatever, in my case, so I work at Whetstone Academy, a middle school program for boys, really looking to the boys to say what it is that they want to address, how they want to address it, and creating the consistent container for them to be able to do that.
Could you define container? I'm understanding that as sort of the environment you talked about, a safe container, a safe environment. Is that correct, or is there more to it?
It can certainly be in a safe environment. So I think of it in a few different ways. And I think of this work as providing a safe container for boys. Being that they're already in residential, we already have some semblance of a container, right? Mm-hmm. But if we boil that down a little bit more to, let's say I'm leading a group, it means, you know, where are we? Is it a place that has limited distractions? Is it a place where they feel physically and emotionally safe? And then also creating a container and consistency through the use of the art projects or art supplies themselves. I'm not just bringing in 500 different, you know, paintings and collages and all these things. We really want to limit it to avoid overstimulation and also to avoid chaos.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you tell us some examples of some boys that you'd worked with, or girls, if you worked with girls before, any students you've worked with, a couple of specific examples of how you got through their defenses and they begin to learn to deal with their issues or their problems, and how it turned out. Any come to mind?
Yeah, there's actually one that's jumping out at me right now. This was a young girl I worked with for the better part of a year who had been in a variety of therapeutic environments prior to being in a residential treatment center. There was outpatient, there was inpatient hospitalization. You know, she had been in therapy the better part of her very young life. And what she had gained from that, or what we had seen, was that she could pick up on the therapeutic language and spat it back out at you, but she really struggled to deeply identify with what was going on, some of the core concerns that kept coming up for her in her life. And so she trusted me to start this very intensive process, and by intensive time, it took over 2 weeks for us in various sessions to create a mask where we used her own face as the model, and in individual sessions, I created a plaster mask where she had to be really mindful. She had to show a lot of trust for me in doing that. And then also a lot of perseverance. It took some time to do that. So after we'd created the plaster mask itself, we then went into decorating it. And the prompt I gave her was on the inside of the mask. I wanted her to collage, paint, and draw what she held on the inside, and she didn't want other people to see. And then on the outside of the mask was, what is the mask you wear for the world? What is it that you try and show others? And for the first time, she was able to address, I don't feel like I belong in my family. I feel like I'm so different that they don't love me and my parents don't understand. She had been in therapy for 6 to 7 years and had never more directly said that. And so it opened up this beautiful conversation for her and her parents and even her siblings to be a part of, her always feeling different and reacting to that, which brought out a lot of healing for the family.
How did she, what was going on that on the inside? She was decorating decorating the mask inside and outside. And then what, you talked with her and asked her what's this and what's
I
that?
did. Yeah, there are some very strong images that she kept choosing and putting there. And when I initially, you know, kind of reflected back, like, you know, wow, I'm seeing that there's a lot of dark colors and a lot of, you know, very strong images here. Can you tell me more about that? And, you know, initially it was very much laughter, like, oh, I don't know, I just liked it. I said, oh, okay, well, you know, it seems like you're taking a lot of care to put it in there. And I'm wondering with all this care, you know, is there something else that's there? And just began to cry and said, you know, I feel so left out. I feel like I don't belong. This is me hiding that from everyone. And in that moment, it felt incredibly genuine. And I told her, you know, we'd been working, like I said, for almost a year. And it was one of the moments that really stood out to me of her taking off that metaphorical mask.
So then how did she respond, or what was going on? Or is she more comfortable with talking about her and thinking about her family then?
She was, and we had talked about her family a lot, but she had struggled to talk about herself. And so, you know, I just kind of reflected, like, gosh, you know, this seems like it was really powerful for you to share this with me. And she certainly agreed and nodded her head. And, you know, up until the time that she graduated the program, we really spoke of that moment as being one of those climactic moments for her and really reaching a new level of awareness.
Okay, and so it started just with a simple project, building a mask.
You know, yeah.
You know, grade school kids do this oftentimes, and they love to do it, or they go to the fair and they get their faces painted, and something like that
yes.
is going on. And so you tied into that. Give me a couple short examples of other techniques you might use or other projects that you've used that have been helpful.
Sure. And I love what you said there, the grade school students, because one of the things that is akin with the expressive arts therapy process is this theme of low skill, high sensitivity. We want something that's very accessible for anyone. So often I hear kids say, but I'm not an artist. I can't do this. And I, you know, as much as that's their belief and we try and accept that, my biggest hope is that they can see themselves as a creator, whether or not we need to title it an artist. So by having something that doesn't take a lot of skill, they are able to really delve into the process. Anyone can do this. It doesn't matter age or ability. Another example, and this is going off of low skill, high sensitivity. Recently, I led a workshop in the Asheville area. This was actually for adults, where we made sock puppets, Lon.
Sock puppets.
Sock puppets.
Okay.
Yes. So it started with, you know, tell me a story or create a story that you want to tell the world. And so from starting with this story that for a lot of people was very meaningful for them, something they wanted to share, we played around a little bit with some drama and with creating a script. And from that, people were able to then move into the fiber arts of creating their own sock puppets to tell the story, which then moves away from the problem, if it was a very tough story, into this very playful realm, very serious play of sock puppets.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like some of the stuff you're talking about, of course, it helps to have the training and experience like you do, but that regular teachers could do some of this.
Certainly. And, you know, art is accessible to anyone. With expressive arts therapy in and of itself, I would recommend getting trained before trying some of the, you know, more depth-oriented processes because, like we've already mentioned a couple of times, you're getting past someone's defenses. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can mean, you know, a bringing up of an old trauma or a trigger or processing some things that the child is not ready to handle. And if the facilitator also isn't, certainly can, you know, be unsafe possibly. But art is accessible to anyone, anytime.
And you can do some of the rudiments of this just by being aware and realizing
Absolutely.
That extra care for use a particular color might mean something more than just they like it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, we've about ran out of time, but I want you to talk about Whetstone Academy. Tell me sort of the elevator pitch of what Whetstone Academy is and how it works, and then if they had any wanted any information on that, or if wanted to talk to you personally, how they could get a hold, get that
Absolutely.
Information.
So Whetstone Academy is a fully functioning farm residential program in upstate South Carolina, where we offer weekly group, individual, and family therapy within the model of a Montessori and traditional school environment. So the way that that looks is our boys in the morning are having a typical school experience, and then in the afternoons they're all participating in gardening, in animal care, in sometimes even fishing, and all kinds of hands-on projects, really getting the boys active and engaged with themselves and their environment.
Okay, well, so how would anybody get in touch with you or get in touch with the school to find out more?
To get in touch with me personally, you can reach out to me at ecantalini, that's C-A-N-T-A-L-I-N-I, at whetstoneacademy.com, or you can visit our website at www.whetstoneacademy.com. This is a newly launched website that we're so proud and has some wonderful pictures on there. I encourage you to look at it. Or you can call us at our main number, and that number is 864-638-6005.
Well, very good. Thank you very much. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with Erin Cantanini, and she's the Clinical Director of Program Services at Whetstone Academy, a middle school or a school for younger boys in South Carolina. And we've been talking about healing through expressive arts therapy. Well, thank you very much, Erin. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you as well. Thank you.